This is Katie and Kay Carbondale, Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. You're listening to Geek Speak. I'm your host, Matt McGrath from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
Going well.
Good. We've had a whole month to come up with some tech news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it's been that long.
It doesn't, but that's what happens when you've been doing a show for 17 years or something like that. How long has it been? You have any idea how long we've been doing it? How long you've been doing it?
So I'm not sure. I mean, probably we're in 15-year territory, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think I had just started my own business, and that was in 2006. So probably 2006 or early 2007 would be my guess.
Wow, that's impressive. Yeah. Good deal. We should know a lot about tech by now.
We've probably forgotten a lot about tech, too.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the downsides of being a human being, I guess.
I suppose so.
So, yeah. So, I know one of the things kind of bubbling at the top of the tech news blogosphere is this, the iPhone vulnerability. And this has led me to, so do you know who the NSO group is?
I've read a couple things about them, but I can't remember exactly.
Got it.
They've done several different things over the years, and I think usually it's related to iOS or mm-hmm. iPadOS or Mac, usually.
Got it. But. Well, here's a quick summary statement about it, just so we know who we're dealing with here. NSO Group Technologies, NSO standing for Niv, Shelev, and Omri, the names of the company's founders, is an Israeli technology firm primarily known for its proprietary spyware Pegasus, which is capable of remote zero-click surveillance of smartphones. It was founded in 2010 by Niv Karmi, Omri Lavi, and Shelev Julio. And so that's who created this. And I just want to know why they haven't been drawn and quartered. They're out there creating such dangers. But I'm guessing that they were probably originally commissioned by the Israeli government.
What do you think? I would say so.
Yeah.
I'd put money on that.
Because, and to get down to the meat of the potatoes, those iPhone users of you out there who have not gone in and done your update.
And iPad, yes.
There's basically a...
you want to make sure that you have iOS 14, at least iOS 14.8 installed. Became available September 13th, so your device may have already updated automatically. But if you want to just hop into settings, then it should drop into general. You click system update.
You go to general, and then you go to about actually, and that will show you the second line in that screen will tell you what your software version is, and mine is running 14.8. I'm happy to say, so nobody's spying on me today.
Yep.
So until the next Pegasus, the next one will be called Unicorn, right? Or something.
Sure.
Spyware for everybody. So anyway, let's see. Yeah. Let me get back to my article. Yeah. So everybody who's running the iOS, iPhone or iPad should jump on and do that software update.
Absolutely.
Because, so what's your understanding of the capabilities of this Pegasus spyware?
So it looks like they send you some sort of iMessage, and then once that is delivered, it unpacks whatever the software package is, and then it's whatever. I'm not sure exactly what the capabilities are, but it's able to, at that point, either to put more stuff on the iPad or pull stuff off. I think it's more pull stuff off. So you can like see your iMessages or something like that. I'm not sure. Exactly.
Yeah. I guess they can see everything, like all text. It's almost like a key logger, I guess. And, it can also allow them to remotely activate your camera and your microphone. So, you know, I don't know about you, but half to two thirds of the computers that come into my shop have a piece of masking tape over the eyesight camera.
I almost think we need to start like a a deal for like disabling the camera permanently, or maybe putting in like a physical switch for the power or something.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I've noticed that a lot of the new PCs have a little slide, like a little shutter.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also seen a third party aftermarket improvement that you can glue onto your iMac. Have you seen that? There's a company that makes a little shutter that you can glue on the top of MacBook as well.
I'm still trying to figure out how to get the microphone turned off. We need to make something where you like plug a little thing into where the mic plugs into the board and has a little physical on-off switch.
Got it. So you can be really confident that it's...
And then maybe have like a little antenna go over by the high voltage part just to make sure. So you just get static.
Got it.
I think that's the
paranoid. I thought you were going in the direction of electrocuting people who try to tamper with it.
Oh, that'd be fine too.
But I like that idea.
Yeah, just make sure there's a little extra noise on the circuit so that even if something is going wrong.
A little white noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little 60 cycle hum with some others. Well, I guess you could probably get higher frequency than that too.
Yeah. So the zero-click capability of Pegasus allows the spyware to install itself on a phone without the owner doing anything, such as clicking a link. You don't even have to click a link from what this story says.
Yeah, that's what I've read.
Spyware can then turn the phone into a spy device, recording from its camera and microphone, sending location data, messages, call logs, and emails back to NSO's client. It says we wouldn't have discovered this exploit if NSO's tool wasn't used against somebody they shouldn't be targeting, says John Scott, a researcher for Citizen Lab. Citizen Lab is the kind of like a watchdog, a cyber security watchdog firm, I guess. So, nice. So
you're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976.
Give us a call if you have a Pegasus on your phone. And,
I wonder if there's even a way to, is there a way to tell that if Pegasus has been is running on your iPhone or I haven't seen that.
So let's see. I actually did come across something about that. Let me see here. I'm not going to tie up the clock here and do a figuring it out, but, I actually did come across there was a log that they were able to extract.
Yeah. And it looks like it's been deployed at least 50,000 times.
Whoa, that's a lot of.
That's how many deployments have been made public at this time.
Yeah. So, yeah, jestingly, I was going to say that if anybody out there thinks they have the Pegasus app, just give us a call and we'll activate their camera and do a live feed with them here on the radio. So, So that is the news from Apple World today. It actually will affect the Apple Watch as well. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess the Apple Watch. And so I guess this is maybe a good place to kind of segue into. My understanding is that we're coming up on the merger of the OS X or Mac OS and the iOS. You notice that the app icons in Big Sur look more and more like iOS apps all the time. They have the nice little rounded corners. They look like buttons. Do you have any idea when that's supposed to become ubiquitous?
I don't know. I'm updating my iPad to iOS 15 right now.
Uh-huh.
So, but it's kind of supposed to be, moving more in the middle between Mac OS and iOS.
Okay. Got it.
I mean, this does have enough horsepower to be a pretty formidable laptop.
Sure.
It's just it's so locked down that.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see. I don't know if they're going to go that far or not, or if they're going to kind of have the iPad OS be kind of a middle ground. And I guess we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah. Looks like we got a call.
All right.
You're on with the Geeks.
Hey, Geeks, it's Donna. How are you?
We're great. How about you?
Oh, good, good. I was just listening, you know, to your talk about Pegasus. I came in a little bit late, and I was a little bit nervous because,
Because you haven't updated?
I have a phone for work and one for home. One of them was updated, and the other one, I just got back, believe it or not, from Portugal.
Nice.
And, so now I'm listening going, oh, I need to update my phone. One of the things that was really nice, you know, there's Wi-Fi all over the place, and I didn't have to turn on my phone at all. but I did use, once in a while, I used my sister's hotspot, you know, and that is one thing that is really nice when you travel for even getting on, like, with your laptop or your iPad. You can use your phone as a hotspot if you have to, you know? Yeah.
Well, that's a really good point. Let me just interject really quickly. The only time that I've ever been had anything stolen from me over Wi-Fi was when I was in Europe. I was in Zurich, and it was that brief period of time when my connection, my Wi-Fi connection, wasn't encrypted yet, and I was handing over my credit card information so I could get on the encrypted connection. It's actually, now that I think about it, it's a pretty ingenious setup. And then all of a sudden I started getting all these weird supplements in the mail.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know how. They're going to make their money like 10, 15 cents at a time, I guess. But if you do it to 1,000 people, then that's money. So I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. But yeah, no, I agree about the hotspot thing. That's a really great idea.
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to mention is it was really handy. I think you guys had talked about my Colorado app a couple of weeks ago, maybe.
Mm.
Did you talk about the My Colorado app?
I don't remember that. There's a lot of things I don't remember.
Oh, okay. So the My Colorado app is really nice because you can have your vaccination card in there. You can have your insurance cards in there for your car insurance, even your driver's license.
Uh-huh.
When you're driving in the state of Colorado, if you show your driver's license in the My Colorado app, like if you get pulled over or whatever, it's completely valid. If you drive out of state, you still have to carry your driver's license with you.
Does it give the officer like a QR code or something they can scan for validity?
There is Share My Information, scan QR code, yes.
Okay, because I've thought about putting all my stuff on my phone, and then it's like, well, wait a minute, I'm handing somebody my phone that's unlocked and has access to, you know, all of my data, all my clients' data, everything.
Right,
and so it's like, I'm going to be the last holdout, like, here's my physical ID if you're going to have to do that. And then same with the vaccination card and everything else.
Well, they can't open up the My Colorado app without your Touch ID. So,
okay.
So I guess I'll just see if it's secure for the
Look at
iOS.
That.
Yeah.
But it is really nice because when we were traveling in Portugal and we had to show our COVID vaccination several times to go into like a restaurant or to a marketplace or something, they took that, and that was really nice.
Uh-huh.
And then the other thing I was going to ask you is one of the things that my sister has on her phone is a VPN for her phone, and I was looking for the app, the name of the app. Are you guys familiar with VPNs for your phone?
So
it's, again, it's like an encryption.
Yeah, so I use Proton VPN for all my devices.
Okay, let me write that down. Proton.
And there's a free tier of it, but I also pay for, I think, 5 devices. But now that I've been there for 2 years, they give me 2 extra devices. So I have 7 devices that I can do VPN on.
Okay, hers started with an N, I think. I can't remember what.
Well, there's like NordVPN.
VPN. I think that's it.
Okay. Yeah, that one's very popular. There's private internet access. And then, what was it? I just saw one that Snowden's not recommending anymore, so because they did something.
Okay,
I think that was it.
Either one would be fine, Proton VPN or NordVPN.
Yeah, I like Proton VPN because it's a Swiss company, so the Swiss have very strong privacy laws, so there has to be a very good paper trail before they will give them any of the, you know, they have to comply with the laws of the country, but as far as privacy goes, Swiss have very strong privacy laws.
Okay. Then the other thing, the last thing I want to mention, I don't want to tie up the phones, but the last thing I want to mention is one of the women we met over there, one of the expats there in Portugal, because my sister's planning on moving there, actually both of them, they had an app for, it was like, we were trying to take pictures and it was at night and they weren't coming out very good. She goes, oh, I have a filter. And I took a picture of her filter, but I wasn't prepared for today here, but maybe next time I'll look up what that filter was. It's an app on her phone, and she took a picture of us. It was, the photo came out like amazing, and it was, you know, pitch black outside. You know, it was dark.
Huh.
Have you guys heard of any of those?
I was going to say, that's, my Pixel has that built in. It has a night mode, and it does a fantastic job.
Oh, that's on your, okay.
I'm not sure about on iPhone, but basically you can, I mean, the like photo, old school Photoshop way of doing that is you do the longest exposure available, and as long as you can repeat that several times, basically you can layer those on top of each other. So like you can have like 10 or 15, 30 second exposures, and then you could throw those into Photoshop or GIMP and basically layer them on top of each other and bring the brightness up and not have it be completely blown out.
You know, it's really easy, just downloading the app.
That too. Well, it's probably what it's doing is it's taking, you know, a longer, several longer exposures and compressing it and, you know, trying to figure out where, what points line up and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice. She just opened up the phone and took the picture. It was really quick and easy. So I'm gonna have to find out what app that was now that I'm back because I want to download that. The other thing, it sure seems like my iPhone, even though it's, I don't know how much space is on. I thought it was the 64 gig. It's just constantly full. I just got to get these photos and videos off of here, I guess. Just seems like it fills up all the time. So I go to an app, and it says downloading the app because it unloaded because I hadn't used it, right?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I don't know if that – does that happen with the Pixel?
I have a 64 gig, and it's getting a little full. I think I'm down to about a gig of free space, and most of that is pictures and video.
Yeah.
So I have to make sure that those are backed up and remove them, and I should be in pretty good shape for a little while longer.
Yeah, okay.
You know, a really good trick I've been using is I've been moving people's... I go ahead and install the Google Photos app on their iPhone, and it will automatically back up all of your regular...
Yeah.
What's that?
I was gonna say that's my tertiary backup.
Yeah, so it'll automatically back up everything in your Apple Photo Library to the Google Cloud, and then you can delete them from the from your Apple Photo Library.
Yeah. And that's
and clear up a bunch of space.
So hypothetically speaking, you are losing a little bit of quality there.
Okay.
Unless you're paying for space.
Mm-hmm.
So because what my understanding is what Google does is it takes the JPEG that's generated by the phone, converts it to some other image format. I'm not sure exactly what it is.
Okay.
And then stores it that way as opposed to storing it as an actual JPEG or a RAW file or whatever it may
be. Well, that's a good caveat. I'm glad you brought that up.
You may want to read into that a little bit more, especially if you're using your phone as a RAW capture device.
Mm-hmm. But it may be cheaper to pay Google for that extra, for that storage, than upgrading your phone.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? And I did do that. I actually have my Google, I have my photos, but I'm so afraid to take them off of my phone. Like, I'm so afraid that I'm going to lose them. I should do a test with some photos I don't care about.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. But,
or drag them out to the desktop of your computer on, like, on an Apple.
Well, you know what I ended up doing? I ended up paying extra for iPhone, you know, iCloud storage, and I pay extra for Google, because like what Matt said is I heard that the when you save them on Google Photos, they save them in a different format unless you pay or extra storage. So I believe that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'd actually kind of forgotten about that. So.
Yeah. So I'll find out what that other app is for the iPhone for the filter, because that was a really
please.
Thing.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll bring it up next time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to write myself a note, put it in my Evernote for my things to do. Everything else good?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Are the leaves changing up there?
Yes, they are. Well, I went through Gunnison and Crested Butte. They are definitely changing up there.
Okay, very good. All right, guys.
Yeah, I'd say this weekend is this weekend's the weekend.
Yeah, so. It's supposed to. I think when I was driving through, my phone came up and said it was supposed to be 19 tomorrow morning in Crested Butte. So.
Oh wow! Maybe I'll take a drive this weekend.
I think, this might be real close to peak color this weekend. I would agree.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys. I'll talk to you in a couple
weeks.
Take
care.
Okay, bye.
That was Donna Dalton, our foreign correspondent.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976.
2976.
Yeah.
That was the, what do they call it, subliminal version of it.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Did you see the article about, we got a call. You're on with the Geeks.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question about trying to retrieve some photos from an old computer that I'm having trouble getting fired up again.
Okay.
Oh, it's like a probably 12, 15-year-old Dell. And I tried hooking up an external monitor. I thought maybe the monitor had gone bad, but I can't see. The screen, it'll fire up for maybe 20, 30 seconds, maybe a minute or two, and then it seems to just go blank.
Okay.
So I don't have any way of like hooking up a hard drive to transfer photos.
Sure.
Off of it.
Okay. Probably your best bet, if you don't want to take it to a professional like Matt or I, is you can pick up a USB enclosure. It's basically a little tray that you pull the hard drive out of your old computer and slide it into this tray, and it has a USB connector, regular USB connector. You just plug it into your computer, and that'll allow you to access that drive. It powers it and creates a data connection to your computer. And so it takes all the mechanics out of the old computer out of the mix, except for the hard drive. And so,
as long as the hard drive hasn't failed, you just go into your pictures folder and pull whatever you need to pull.
Just start dragging and dropping. So.
Okay, so I unscrew the computer, the laptop, and
So what you want to do is
it's on the inside.
So
somewhere?
It's an old Dell laptop. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. And actually on Dell laptops of that vintage, they're usually, the hard drive is really easy to remove. There usually is a little door that's about 2.5-3 inches wide.
Yeah, 2 3/4, three.
Yeah, with
three
a couple of little Phillips screws. And it's like right on the edge. And you can undo those two screws and it'll just slide right out.
Although, they were just moving away from that. So it's like if it's just a little bit on the further end of that vintage, what Louis said will work.
Call us next week.
Will work perfectly. if not, there's on the vintage after that. There's a panel on the bottom that has between 4 and 6 screws on it.
Yeah,
and it'll be under there with the memory.
Yeah, and there's usually like a little icon. It looks like a little disc.
Yeah, three little discs stacked.
Yeah, basically that's the universal symbol for hard drive. So,
yeah, what was that symbol again? Three little discs?
It's like three little discs kind of stacked.
Yeah, staggered.
Kind of how it looks. Okay. Yeah, it'll be pretty obvious.
Okay, it's like an Inspiron 1800 or 2100 or something like that.
Okay,
yeah. The other option is to just Google that particular model and be like, where's the hard drive?
Yeah, exactly.
So I just need like a USB plug that has a USB plug on one end to plug into the hard drive. Another plug I could just plug that into my iMac or something like that.
It's not quite that simple. They call it an enclosure, and it has a most of them have an external power, like a little power brick that you plug into the wall to power the drive. And but you can pick them up. I think the software store down in Glenwood carries them. You know, I think they're maybe $29 on a bad day.
Although,
something like that.
Things are variable right now. So
yeah, exactly. With the chip shortage, who knows? But if you don't have any luck, give us a call back.
Okay, and the name of that store in Glenwood again?
It's called the Software Store. It's down in that shopping center across from McDonald's.
Okay.
So.
All right, well, you might be hearing from me next week.
I should get him to start
not.
Sponsoring the show.
All right.
All right, have a great one. Take care.
Awesome, thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Have a few more minutes. 963-2976 if you want to talk to the geeks.
Yeah. You know, those little hard USB hard drive enclosures are just the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah. So. And then the NVMe, the newer NVMe ones are nice, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So you can take a more modern hard computer, take the SSD out, and and do the same thing.
Yep, indeed. So, all right.
A little extra time today.
You know what that music means.
Yeah. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McGrath from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt.
You're welcome. And we'll be back beginning of October.
Yes, I actually have to declare it that I'm going to be on vacation.
Oh,
we'll get modern Marty in here. Are you going on vacation too?
I may have a job out of town, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll figure something out. Don't worry. There will be some geeks here to take care of you guys. And thanks for listening.
Have a great evening.
Yep. Yeah.